Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets if you are like me and you love the college sports.
This is The Jump Around, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Dancing down the sidelines, and they catch him now! The Badgers answer instantly. There will be no undefeated champion on Wisconsin with an unbelievable stretch drive to the championship game.
It's over. The Wisconsin Badgers win 17-9. They are the first Big Ten team ever to win successive Rose Bowl games.
That is the best college sports town in America.
Welcome into the Jump Around, a Badger-dedicated show on the ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison YouTube streams. I'm Jim Rutledge alongside Jesse Nelson as Riley Yauch is... Where is he?
He's at the SEC baseball tournament, Jim.
Of course he is.
Second year in a row.
Not on assignment, just there. But he's out there making friends. I know last year he made a little bit of a splash, so... We'll have Riley back, and we have a little note, a little video from Riley at the end of the show. We have Lamar Soup Campbell on the show today, someone who I personally think could have been on this committee here. So we're going to do a lot of AD talk throughout. We're going to talk a little bit about our favorite and most influential Badgers as well, Jesse. But we're starting with college football expansion, and this was something that was near and dear to your heart. And initially, I kind of sometimes think like, all right, 24, 16, that's kind of the discussion we're having here. Like, which one is more important? But at the same time, I do think 24 teams, as a Badgers fan, that amount of teams, that amount of opportunity for the Badgers to maybe make this playoff in the future is the best. And I also think, what's the harm in 24 over 16? And Jesse, I know it's the Big Ten wants 24 and the SEC wants 16.
Yeah, so I wanted to get into this all week long once I saw this story surface earlier this week. And thanks for having me in for I don't know if I have to be as optimistic about everything as Riley
Nobody
typically is around
so
here.
Nobody is, so that would be a tough road.
Big shoes to fill, but I will do the best I can today. So I saw this earlier this week. All the Big Ten, all the important people are meeting at these Big Ten meetings in some resort in California, which good for them. Nice little week away heading into Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And Commissioner Tony Petitti met with the media, and he doesn't normally meet with the media at this kind of thing. This is something that, like, they don't carve time out. You have to kind of go seek it. Mm-hmm. He met for over an hour with media members talking about college football playoff expansion earlier this week and how the Big Ten, there was this leaked information, this leaked email that came out back in February about how the Big Ten wanted to propose a 24-team playoff. The SEC has since said they'd prefer a 16-team. There's different reasons why they would advocate for that versus why the Big Ten would say 24 fits their narrative a little bit better. All in all, when you first see any topic of college football playoff expansion, I think the purist, the college football fan, like I grew up being, is what makes this sport great is the limited nature of who can contend for the championship. You know, voting number one and number two, the BCS system, then ultimately the four-team playoff, the drama, how every regular season game matters because there's only so many teams that have the opportunity to get into that playoff. That's what makes the sport special. That's evolved now to 12 teams. And what we've seen over the last couple of years is Notre Dame, a team last year that got left out of that tournament, had a chance to probably get into that thing and win it.
Mm-hmm.
They were good enough. Marcus Freeman's a good enough coach. They could have gotten into that 12-team tournament and made a big run just like they did the year before. They got left out last year, and they were irritated about it, as they should have been. You saw the last team in, Miami, goes on a run all the way to play in the national championship and gave Indiana everything they could handle in that championship game. So the Big Ten is proposing a 24-team playoff, and I think the support and the reason why this would make sense is you have these bowl games that are now meaningless near the end of the season. If you can do anything to allow more teams the opportunity to contend for a championship, to be in the mix longer when it matters most at the end of the season in October, in November, and into December and January, why would you not want to do that? The thing that stood out most to me from these meetings earlier this week and what Commissioner Tony Petitti said was when he worked for Major League Baseball, they had meetings where they would say, how can we get more teams in the mix to win a championship? And it was never met with a, that's not a good idea. It's a, how do we get to do that? And you've seen how wild card expansion has taken place over the last few years. College football, for whatever reason, doesn't want more teams to have a chance to be relevant late in the season and contend for a championship. And to Tony Petitti, and to me as a Wisconsin Badgers fan, I want more teams to be in the mix, because look at the amount of times that Wisconsin would have in a 2014 playoff had an opportunity to go play for a championship and decided on the field rather than in votes or because of a bad loss in October.
Yeah, I 100% with you. Look, you brought up some good style of play or integrity of play points to it. I look at it as, most of the people watching the show are Packer fans. The NFL playoffs expanded. The Packers would not have been in the playoffs the last 3 years if not for the seventh seed. And that first year with Jordan Love as a starter was a hell of a run. And so you don't want to take that away. All other sports seem to prioritize, because you're not wrong, the regular season matters a ton in college football, but every other sport prioritizes the postseason. College basketball is not worse. The games still matter in the regular season, even though it's a 64 team and expanding system there. And the storylines, the passion, and the eyeballs are arriving in the postseason. And so, I mean, you could even look at, we all love the Cinderella, and you talk about it could have been Notre Dame, obviously Miami. So you're just adding that aspect to it, and you're not putting in trash teams, because if you have the top 25, what's 24 teams then? Then you're kind of just looking at that okay, these are supposed to be the premium teams. And honestly, percentage-wise, for how many college football teams there are as opposed to how many make the playoffs, it's actually probably better than most sports.
I think it's funny that it's like, wow, what if we went to a 24-team play? The FCS has done this forever.
Yes, yes.
Division III has done this forever. Where has everyone been this whole time?
Right.
If we were going to do a playoff to begin with, I would think that this would have been the format they would have wanted from the jump.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the problem with this is more of the rollout of it. It's just this bloodletting instead of this is what we're doing. And then everyone's mad at one time, and then it's over. Instead of they're microdosing anger. Let's just get a little bit mad in a few more years.
The problem, I think, is the bowls. And because, yes. They want the bowls to matter. So yeah. I've advocated for years. I think I've got the solution to fix the bowl system, which then can lead to fixing the playoff system. We should play the bowls at the start of the season as opposed to at the end of the season. It should no longer be the reward for a winning season for a team to go play. No one wants that anymore. No one wants to go showcase their draft skill set because everything's on film. Every game's on television now.
Yep.
No one cares about going to play in a warm climate at that time of year because half the games are played in December 15th or whenever anyway. So what do you want to do? Have all these sponsors still tied into these games. When does college football have the most excitement right now? Week 0 and week one.
Yeah.
The start of the season is where all the fun is. So we're playing these international games in week 0. We're playing these neutral site games with some major conference matchups in Labor Day weekend, all weekend long. Look at Wisconsin, Notre Dame at Lambeau this year.
Yep.
So let's just make those the bowls.
Yeah.
Play the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans at that time. Plus, this would open it up. You could have new bowl games in what are cold weather climates. So you can play the Pinstripe Bowl, the Fenway Bowl that they played in Boston, but you could also play it at Foxborough, where the Patriots play.
Yeah.
You could play one at Lambeau every year. You can play in cold weather destinations, and it would be more appealing for fans of those teams to go to those games at the start of the year. It's an instant resume builder for a 2014 playoff. Let's get rid of those conference championship games. I think everybody's kind of seeing that those are going to be pretty meaningless here pretty soon. And you get to that 2014 playoff that starts the first week of December. It's more in line with what the FCS has always done, what D3 has always done. I think we've got college football fixed, Jim. It took, 10 minutes with me filling in here? We got this.
Common sense. There's a few little tweaks I would make. One, I think, because people like a little bit of integrity around the bowls, so okay, fine. Because at one point it was you had to earn it. You had to still have to have the 6 wins a year prior. That makes you bowl eligible for the bowls to roll out. And I would carve out a little spot there of, I don't know where the line is drawn of the Sugar Bowl. The historic bowls could still kind of live, kind of go back to those bowls. Fine. Those live in the postseason. But then the rest, the Pinstripe Bowls, the Boca Raton Bowl, all these other bowls are kickoff bowls. I like that because then you do have, there's so many bowls, but you get to reward this, whether it's the team that did at least get to reward this school and the athletic department with the and the players with gifts and all of that. You get the showcase. You're still going to get the eyeballs, the dollars for the advertisers. You're still going to be able to do all the hospitality, to your point, hospitality in more places. A lot of fun. Instead of, oh, this is a bummer, we're BYU and we wanted to be in a bigger bowl and we're in the Boca Bowl, like, now it's more of like we're starting our season off because we finished strong with 7 wins and now we're here. I like all that. And then even with the practice side of it, you could either do two different ways. Like, hey, if you qualify for a bowl game, you get a couple extra weeks of practice in a year. But I actually think that's dumb. It should be, if you qualify for, under your point, if you qualify for a bowl game, you can start a little earlier. You can start your practices a little bit earlier, and then you get that, because that's what all the coaches talked about too, was like the extra practice time. But you don't need it at the end of the year with, again, now NIL, half these guys aren't going to be there. But it is funny.
It's like having a head start in a race the following year. Everybody would want that. And if you're a Wisconsin fan, okay, so let's say, theoretically, Wisconsin goes 7-5 this year. Maybe this year's a bad example because it's been a while since we've been to a bowl game. But any of the other traditional, you know, more familiar Wisconsin years. Badgers have a down year. They go 7-5, 8-4. So they get to go play in the Music City Bowl in Nashville, Tennessee, and they're playing Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, half the players are going to be entering the transfer portal. Some are going to sit out because they don't want to compromise their draft status with an injury. Now flip that. Wisconsin gets to play Missouri in Nashville August 27th. The following year to kick off the season. How many more Badger fans are going to have months to prepare? Oh, sweet. We get to go to Nashville to kick off the season. It's a standalone game on ESPN at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday night. We get to go there. Let's plan a little overnight trip, couple of days. You get to party on Broadway. You get to do all that stuff. And then it's sponsored. You get a great start to the year in a primetime marquee matchup, Big Ten SEC. There's excitement. There's juice. It's just like Wisconsin-Notre Dame starting this year when Wisconsin's been in these high-profile games in week one. Rather than opening with Eastern Michigan or Buffalo or any of those other teams, that Miami, Ohio, I think it was last year. Like, let's go big with the start of the season for bowl games. That's where those belong. Opens up the playoff to be the event at the end of the season without this extra fluff going on that nobody cares about. And let's make this sport recognizable, and let's actually design this thing the way that a football fan wants to consume it.
I agree. Now, we did this pre-show. Now we got to move on. Did you pick a Badger team that could have had a run here? Because I do have one.
I did pick one as well.
All right,
so,
give us a quick 30-second synopsis here.
All right, so if I'm saying which... I'm sorry, the question is, which Wisconsin football team do I think would have had a chance to make a run? The 2011 Russell Wilson team is hands down a team that would have benefited the most from an expanded playoff, because they lost two games on Hail Mary stupid plays against Ohio State and Michigan State. And if they weren't playing in the Rose Bowl against Oregon and kind of downtrodden, they weren't in a championship situation, they probably would have played that game a little bit differently too. So the 2011 Wisconsin Badgers... You're telling me that Russell Wilson and everybody on that team wouldn't have been able to go into a tournament decided on the field and try and run over TCU or Texas or any of the other teams that were in what would have been that field in that season? I would have loved the success that those pros had at the next level to see them in an actual college football playoff atmosphere. I would have loved to have seen that, and I think that 2011 team could have easily made a Final Four and won a championship.
For me, it's the 2017 Wisconsin Badgers, 12-1, 12-0 in the regular season, ranked 4 entering the Big Ten title game, had Jonathan Taylor as a true freshman, defense was elite, lost, honestly, one of the closer Big Ten championship games that they lost, 27-21 to Ohio State, and then they beat Miami in the Orange Bowl, so that means they probably would have hosted a first-round game in Madison, and that team... with the defense, had a puncher's chance. It's not the big pro names like you have in the other one. I don't disagree with that year. But I like the 2017 Badgers. They were 12-1, one of the best seasons of all time.
The fact that they were 12-0 going into that Big Ten championship game and then got left out, and we were talking all season, like Heather Dinich and all the experts were saying, this team isn't going to belong in the top four. They finally had the chance to prove it, and they were so close with Alex Hornibrook leading the way. So close to beating Ohio State in that Big Ten championship game. That is the one that it was in our grasp.
Where would this program be? All right, let's move on. All right, we'll keep this a little bit tighter. And Owen, a little production thing here. You're behind the glass here. So whose Mount Rushmore do you have ready to go first?
Since Jesse is our guest today, we're going to have Jesse go first. Okay. So Jesse, I want you to just go quickly one by one, and we will slowly reveal who is on your Mount Rushmore.
So this is the UW Athletics Mount Rushmore of like basically the most influential people in Jesse Nelson's mind for UW Athletics. And we all agree Chris McIntosh is not on Mount Rushmore.
He is not on my list. No, right. He did not make the top four. What I think of who belongs on a Mount Rushmore, I think of Mount Rushmore. And I think of if you're telling the story of U.S. history, those four presidents that are up on that mountain are four of the people you have to mention when you're telling the story. So while there are influencers and there are people of significance, and this certainly is not limited to these four being the most, you know, impactful people in UW athletics history, I think you can absolutely not tell the story of Wisconsin athletics without these four people. Number one is easy. It's Barry Alvarez for all the reasons everybody would know.
And honestly, if these repeat, I will not go deep into mine, but I agree with you. Barry, obviously on the list.
I have a feeling we're going to differ after that one.
Okay.
Number two on mine, Mark Johnson.
Okay.
Mark Johnson, the most successful college women's hockey coach ever, plus representing Team USA on the Miracle on Ice team. Yep. The legacy, the story that that tells, and how he has shaped an entire sport and the coverage that it gets and how it's built in the Big Ten Conference and the amount of championships and success that he's had at Wisconsin. I don't think you can tell the story of Wisconsin athletics without Mark Johnson on the list. So he is number two on my list.
Not on my list, but hard to argue. Can't really argue against it.
Number three. I don't think we will ever see a basketball National Player of the Year again at the University of Wisconsin. So I don't think you can tell the story of Wisconsin athletics and talk about its successes and talk about made them believe and the back-to-back Final Fours as good as Bo Ryan is, as good as all those other players are, without Frank Kaminsky. So it's a little bit more recent than some of the other, you know, longevity type picks. But Frank Kaminsky, to me, as a National Player of the Year and what that team did and the stories we still celebrate, even for a team that didn't win a championship, Frank Kaminsky, to me, belongs on a UW Athletics Mount Rushmore. And then my last pick, he would be the first to tell you that he does not belong on this. I'm here to tell you he does. Matt LePay belongs on the Mount Rushmore of Wisconsin athletics. When you talk about telling the story, you play all the clips, you play all the highlights, and who's the narrator telling us everything that's happening from all of the successes that Wisconsin athletics has achieved at its highest levels over the last three-plus decades? It's Matt LePay. Yeah. So my fake dad, he would tell you, no, he doesn't belong on this. I'm here to tell you, he does. Matt LePay is my fourth for the Wisconsin Athletics Mount Rushmore.
The nice thing about Mount Rushmore is like, it's not like I can argue against those. It's not like, oh, I can't believe you have Matt LePay or Frank Kaminsky on the list. But our list does differ after Barry Alvarez. So, Owen, let me know when you're ready, and I'll give you my list.
I dare you to slander the good name of Matt LePay.
I won't slander the good name of anyone that you have on that Mount Rushmore. I mean, you really can't. Mine is actually, honestly, the tone of it is just different.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
All right, let's go with Barry Alvarez is the first one I have on there. Do I need to go in a specific order that I texted you, Owen, or can I go in?
Preferably order.
Okay, well, I'll bring up the text that I sent your way. That was it. That's all. All right, so the next one I have on here, I don't think it's a surprise to anyone. My former co-host, a man who grew up on Rutledge Street here in Madison, Wisconsin, and that's Pat Richter. Pat Richter, the godfather of...
Grew up on the Rutledge Street.
He did grow up... No, Rutledge Street.
Oh, Rutledge Street. Yeah, I thought you were claiming coaching tree. Yeah, Pat Richter belongs in
He grew up on Rutledge Street.
Rutledge Street. That's pretty
Pat
good, too.
Pat was the AD when Barry was hired, and Bo and Mark and all those sort of guys. So I just want more top level. These two are going to be a little bit more... Not out of left field when you think about it, but the next one here is Donna Shvalala. She was the president... at the University of Wisconsin, when Pat was brought in, and with Barry, she worked with Barry and Pat and made UW Athletics the start of the golden age for UW Athletics. Started with Donna Shalala, Pat Richter, and Barry Alvarez. And then, look, man, now more than ever, money matters. So Ted Kellner is my fourth on Mount Rushmore.
I'm sensing a theme with your Mount Rushmore, Jim. It's Barry Alvarez and the people who have most significantly been impacted Barry Alvarez during his tenure at Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean...
So, which goes back to what Evan Cohen said on this show, which has gotten a lot of publicity over the last week. I caught it. We talked about it on Wilde and Tausch. the fact that Barry Alvarez isn't on that committee can tell you one a couple of things. Either
Get into that.
Oh, sure, yeah. Let's talk about that.
Now,
yeah.
Are we going to put these, Owen, I would recommend putting these on socials, but if you are, you're probably going to have to put names around mine. Even Pat, unfortunately, with social media. But
it's a little label. It'll look very professional.
Yeah, we'll
Owen
put them on all
job.
Four so the other three don't feel bad. All right. But let's move on to our clip of the week.
Around these parts, there's only time for the best of the Badgers.
We don't know exactly where we are right now.
Why don't you own the Wisconsin football team?
We need to play better significantly.
They're spoiled rotten.
This is the clip of the week on the Jump Around.
Go someplace else. Go boo in a bar.
And Owen may or may not have told you, Jesse, since you started to set up, you can set up this.
Oh, sure. I will take it from here. My honor. Thank you. So we talked about what Evan Cohen said here on the Jump Around last Thursday, that Barry Alvarez should be on this committee and it should raise some questions that he's not. So we brought that up on our show, Wilde and Tausch, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN Wisconsin. And Mark Tauscher, who again, color analyst of the Wisconsin Badgers Football Radio Network, very dialed in with the program, had this to say about Barry's involvement, or lack thereof, on this AD search committee.
Barry Alvarez should be involved as much as he wants to be involved. I don't know how much they asked and how the new interim chancellor, if I'm doing this and if I'm involved in this, I want the chancellor to be hired before I hire an athletic.
Apparently they're not doing it that way.
They're not doing that. And that's their right to do how they want to do it. But again, and we asked Barry this when he joined us a couple days after Mac left, the question is, would you, and I think Barry said something kind of, it does matter. Like every coach, everybody, if you don't align with what the administration is doing, and you see this now with teams, if you don't have the organization in place that you have the same vision, why would anyone take that job? So there could be numerous reasons for why things are going the way they are, and we can either sit here and complain about it, or you could say, well, let's see how this goes. And if it doesn't go well, obviously that's going to be bad for everybody involved, but to just say Barry Alvarez needs to be on a committee takes a lot of time. Like there's a lot of work that goes into what you're going to be doing. And I don't know if that's something he wanted to do. So maybe he did and he didn't get asked and he feels snubbed. I don't know. But I would argue that he's still going to have his fingerprints on whatever ends up happening.
And first question is, why is Mark on a spaceship? And then two,
at an undisclosed location, truly, it was either a bus or a spaceship or maybe a combination of both that day.
The other part of it is, it goes back to what Evan said, and I do agree with this. If Barry Alvarez is not involved in some way, even if it's behind the scenes, and this is where Riley and I differ, because he just basically thinks Barry and Pat are dinosaurs of an ancient era that don't understand how things work. I'll disagree that things are just different, but Barry and Pat had to raise a boatload of money to get the funds needed to compete with the facilities. And now it's different, but it's also the same. They just have to raise more money. And they both understood the idea of customer service and making sure people feel wanted. I was just talking to someone here that said, hey, when I was working with my company and Barry was here, not only was he awesome to me, he would tell me I could bring people into his suite. He made things happen for me internally with the Badgers. And not that I needed my handheld, but Mac barely acknowledged my existence. And so that's just one example. And I know that Pat and Barry both understand it. And so I do hope that Barry and Pat at least have you got this group, it's down to the final three. Let me have a chat with them the same way that companies can have the founder of the company before any hires made at the end. Like, let me just have a quick chat just to make sure there's not some sort of horrible thing that I pick up on that I want to at least alert you to.
If this is done right, there's no way Barry Alvarez doesn't have some type of involvement in knowing what's going to be the decision here for the next director of athletics at the University of Wisconsin. That is just a fact. Like, Barry Alvarez, it's not like the sport didn't evolve during his tenure as a head coach or as an athletic director.
Right.
It's not like the sport didn't evolve during Pat Richter's tenure.
Right.
Like, it just evolved differently.
And they both were athletes, too.
Yes. So they have the experience of playing in the most popular sport at the school. They have the experience of leading all of the programs at the school, like, there's, you can't just look at it and say, well, they don't know how it is now. Like, yeah, people evolve. The sport evolves. There's been evolution from the BCS to the playoff to what it was before the BCS. Barry was part of all of that. He knows how to, the most important thing, yeah, sure, maybe he's not the best at, you know, understanding the ins and outs and the how to dot the I's on NIL type stuff. But what he does know is how to lead people. He joined Wilde and Tausch. And when we were talking about Chris McIntosh leaving, I left that conversation, and I think most Wisconsin Badgers fans left that conversation fired up about what the future of Wisconsin athletics was sounding like and looking like, because Barry Alvarez got in front of it and said, if Mac doesn't want to be here, that's fine. We'll find somebody who does. That's exactly the message that a leader conveys when you're in charge of a program like a director of athletics is going to be here. And so he's a leader. He is the guy that you look at as the beacon of who is going to share the right message for a program moving forward. That's who Wisconsin needs in that seat. Next, that's what Mac hasn't been.
Let's move on. Let's get to the Twitter portal.
It's time for the Badgers Twitter portal.
All right, guys, we're going to have a couple quick hitters today with Twitter portal. First up, we have... The public narrative has always been the Badgers are a hard-nosed, run-first, O-line, linebacker, and running back factory. The truth is that identity was built because Wisconsin simply could not win the same recruiting wars as Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Notre Dame, or the SEC. Do you guys believe that Wisconsin's foundation was built solely on a recruiting disadvantage?
I would... change how you're wording it. I would say that Barry Alvarez came into the situation, understood in a Moneyball sort of way before it was called Moneyball, is that, you know what we have here? We have some fantastic linemen. We have some big time linemen here. And in that era, so this is where it gets lost, where I don't know who this person is or how old they are, but like that was football. Like it was, you ran the football. Like that's what it was. It wasn't really until like Mike Leach came along. And BYU was the only team back in the day slinging the football around the field, especially in college football. So Barry was winning the way that everyone won in that era. He just understood that, hey, we have some great type of players who could be good offensive linemen. And I don't mean farm boys. I mean like super athletic people. Tauscher's athletic. Joe Thomas is athletic. Like these guys went on and played long NFL careers. So Barry understood where his most amount of talent was. And then he understood Ron Dane's not from here. He still went out and found Ron Dane out in Jersey. He went out and found, you know, Soup Campbell as a cornerback who will be joining us in a little bit from out east as well in Pennsylvania. So, like, Barry still understood these sort of things. And then the other part of it is, I've said this before, that this 3-4, and obviously the Badgers run a little bit more of a hybrid now, but Dave Aranda is the other person that changed, or you call Gary Anderson, changed the complexion of Badger football. I don't know if he did this on purpose or not, but bringing in the 3-4 or even what Trussell's running now fits the recruiting base in Wisconsin, because Wisconsin's got a ton of, and Jessica does a lot of high school sports, a lot of really talented people who are running backs and quarterbacks in high school football in Wisconsin. They ain't doing that at Division I in college football. But you know what they are? Zach Bond and all these other guys, they're great linebackers because they're super athletic for linebackers. They're just not athletic enough to be a running back or quarterback. So that change, to me, did so much for Badger defenses. They got so much better with Leonard, obviously, but then also, you know, Dave Aranda was here, had a good defense, a couple other guys had good defenses, and running that defense that had those type of players in this state, it's just smart football to recruit your base.
Yeah, Jim makes a lot of good points. What I would say is, you ever watch those cooking shows where they don't know what ingredients they get for a challenge and then they have like 90 minutes to make something?
Yeah.
So Barry Alvarez got his ingredients when he took the job here.
Yeah.
And you can look at it one of two ways. You can say, I'm at a disadvantage because I don't have the same ingredients that Phil has over there.
Yep.
Or you can say, I have an advantage because these are my ingredients. Here's what I'm going to make with them. He took his ingredients and built a winning football
team.
That's
what good coaches do. Everyone complain, like everyone will say, why can't you just, every good coach wins with the players they have, not because of the system. You have to move your system and what you want to do. And also, I don't know exactly what was being run, but with Iowa, Nebraska, and Notre Dame roots, what did you expect Barry Alvarez to run? Which in that point would have been 60s and 70s roots for Barry and 80s of those sports. And then he comes to Wisconsin. That's all running into football. Again, I think a lot of people don't realize that was football.
Sorry. And moving on to our final one. This broke right after our show, or it was probably the following day last week. But Sam Decker is now an assistant coach with the South Carolina men's basketball team. Do you guys feel like Greg Gard should dip more into former players? He already has Brad Davison on the coaching staff. Should he dip more into the former players as assistant coaches?
You're hurting me, Owen. Joe Krabanoff.
Number one fan, Jim Rutledge, of Brad Davison.
No, forget that. Like, Brad's not even a coach. He's like a coach's assistant. Joe Krabanoff is on the staff. Yeah. He's like the lead assistant, Joe. And is considered for a lot of jobs.
Yep.
So, like, and Sharif Chambliss, also a former Badger. He's had other former Badgers on the staff. Kirk Penny. So, I don't want Sam Decker on the staff. I don't know what Brad Davison brings besides where he is currently. It's fine. If he works his way in, I forget who the third assistant is for the Badgers. But Greg already does this. But you're young and you don't maybe not realize that Joe and Sharif were pretty damn good Badger basketball players.
But how about some national championship game appearance Badgers?
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying, but I know. I think Krabanoff specifically and Sharif will probably be better coaches over time than Sam Decker.
I did not expect Sam Decker to be a Division I college basketball assistant coach. Hand up. I did not see that coming. So congrats to him.
His dad's a coach, so it's not shocking.
Yeah, I mean, yep. He comes from a good – like it all makes sense now that it happened, but I just never – expected that he would do that. So I think it's awesome that he's doing it. I don't think Wisconsin needs to tap more into this. I think
they're pretty tapped in, is my point.
Yeah, and I think Wisconsin does a great job celebrating the teams that made back-to-back Final Fours and the Final Four that they made in 2000. I think they do a great job celebrating those teams while also evolving the game and the style of play moving forward. We were really excited last year and the last couple of years for what this team looked like offensively. Like, it's okay to grow but still celebrate your roots without just having to hire everybody from those teams to be coaches. Otherwise, you become Scott Frost at Nebraska.
Exactly. All right, we're going to talk to Soup Campbell coming up in a second. But Steinhoffel's biggest Memorial Day sale is happening right now. If you've been thinking about upgrading your furniture, this is the time to do it. Right now at Steinhoffel's, you'll save up to 30% store-wide, plus get $75 instant cash back for every $799 you spend. You'll also score a $200 MasterCard reward card when you spend over $3,000, plus with Steinhoffel's 60-month 0% financing, it's even easier to bring it home. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. Soup, up next.
Steinhoffel's biggest Memorial Day sale is on now. Save 10% off store-wide and get $75 instant cash back for every $7.99 you spend. Plus, get a $200 MasterCard rewards card. Buy a premium mattress and get free Premier delivery on everything. Get amazing doorbusters like this recliner, just $1.99. A queen storage bed, $7.99. Take advantage of Steinhoffel's 60-month 0% financing. Now through Memorial Day, only at Steinhoffel's. Wisconsin's furniture and mattress leader.
We are thrilled to be joined now by Super Bowl champion.
Nice.
Lamar Soup Campbell. It's got to feel good, Soup, to have that Super Bowl in front of your name now. Does that feel? How's that feeling? Welcome to the show.
Man, thanks, guys, for having me. It feels really good, man. I've been chasing that trophy for 30 years, and I was telling so many younger guys that there are people in Canton, in the Hall of Fame, that don't have a Super Bowl trophy. So to be able to have the honor, to be able to have that privilege, and what we had to do to get there the year that we had, phenomenal feeling, man. But we are looking forward to starting a new season. We'll get our rings in a couple of weeks, and it's on to the 2026 season, man, to try to go ahead and do it again.
And with a Packers and Bears fan sitting in this studio, we hope you don't get another one anytime soon, Soup. But congrats on getting the one last year. So this is a little reunion.
I appreciate you.
I don't know if Soup knows this, but I don't know if you know this, Jim, but Soup hosted ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day here on ESPN Madison. Yes. Well, I know because you hosted the show. Did you know in 2014, yeah, I was the guy running the board for the show back in the Milwaukee studio?
Wow.
So we're all back together again, even though we never even met face-to-face that entire year. But this is awesome. Soup, looking forward to catching up with you.
Love for the ESPN, nothing but love for the ESPN Madison family. You know, JR brought me on. It was a great opportunity for us. Great time for me to, as a Badger, to give back and talk Badger football. Man, you guys are doing an amazing job, and I appreciate you guys having me on today. It's awesome.
Soup, I want to ask you a question. I just want to, like, were you approached? Have you been, like, advisory role? Because everyone's talking about Barry Alvarez, and he should be involved in this board of directors search for the athletic director. You have been involved in hiring an NFL GM. Those might forget that you were in Chicago and you were part of a search committee there that brought in Ryan Poles, and all of a sudden that looks like a really good hire. And so Ben Johnson, you know, that probably helped there. But then also you brought in a Super Bowl winning coach with Seattle as you're helping and assisting with John Schneider and in that front office there. So you obviously have the experience of finding good leaders. You have a successful GM and a successful head coach on your resume there. What role, if any, have you had in at least talking to the Badgers about this?
No, I haven't had any role. No one's reached out to me from Madison. But I think I'm in the Taos tree and Joe Thomas tree of, you know, diehard Badger fans that once was best for the program. I think when you look at what we have right now, you have an opportunity to get a new athletic director. You have a new chancellor potentially coming in, and I believe a new UW systems president. Yep. So alignment is a superpower, right? If you can be aligned in some way, ideally you would love the chancellor to be in before the AD, but that's not necessarily the problem that we've dealt. So in Barry's words, we're not going to flinch. We have to move forward and figure this thing out. But I think when you look at the alignment and what we have, you have to understand we came from the Barry Alvarez and Donna Shalala tree. So we've seen what it looks like when the campus and football and the athletic department works together, right? When I was there working under Barry, me and Mac actually worked together. When I was AD of engagement, I have more of the players, I have more of the engagement, I have more of the community. Mac had a lot of the business acumen. Mac did a lot of things with the boosters. But Barry had two guys who were loyal, who understood the program. And I think that's what people don't realize is that the community is the first thing you have to go after. We have to, I think I heard you guys talking about earlier, like Barry would always tell us that you recruit what you see in the grocery store every day, right? So what does Wisconsin have? They have big guys, they have tough guys, they have linemen. So you had your Bernie Wyatt, you had your Brad Childresses, you had Billy Callahan's. And you look at the coaches, we actually had coaches on Barry's tree that went and had coaches in the NFL as well. So not only does the AD have to come in, but he has to come in and make sure he has the right staff. I hope Luke at the time, we know Jimmy was there, Jimmy Leonard was there at the time. We all thought Jimmy was going to get the job, but Luke Fickell was coming off a playoff experience. When I think when you're looking at this AD and you're looking at when this person comes in, that first year, everyone should be on notice. Because you want your own people and you want to be able to say who's getting it done and who's not getting it done. And really outside of football, our athletic department is somewhat successful.
Yep.
Our men were in the finals for our women, probably have the biggest, you know, walking around with the confidence of anybody, our women's hockey team. I mean, you got to respect what they've been able to do. Our volleyball team, our men's basketball team. I mean, you talk to some of these universities that don't have Final Four appearances or don't have bowl games. Like, you don't realize what you have until it's gone. And now as a former Badger, we're starting to realize what it's like now that Badger football isn't at an elite level. So even though I have not been contacted by anybody at Wisconsin, I think anybody knows any of us alumni, we're always a phone call away from helping out in any way that we can, whether it's roster alignment, NIL. And that's something I've noticed that when I travel to these schools and I'm scouting these schools and I talk to the players and I talk to the staff, like, you see what works on the NIL space. You talk to the GMs there at that space to understand how they do alignment. How does cap space? How do you earmark for the next 15 or 16 players? Because NIL isn't just about recruiting. It's about retainment. These young men and young women are pros now. For all the people that don't believe it, this is who they are. So what platform do we offer as Wisconsin Badgers? Not only help them as athletes, as people, but as businessmen and women as well, too. And I think that's the mindset the new AD should have.
Yeah, and you started to touch on it there. We don't have to give names, but successful athletic director, in your mind, in today's NIL, which, I mean, they're building a brand new facility here that Ted Kellner has helped, and you still have to keep up with the Joneses as far as facilities, but now you got to add the NIL part of it. So, in your mind, is the candidate experience in college football? Is it a business person? Is it a former athlete? Do they have to have ties to Wisconsin? Yeah. So if you could kind of create a mock resume for that perfect AD, that'd be great, because I think you, along with, you know, Tausch and Barry and all that, like, those are important voices to have into it, because you're right, you are coming from an era that feels too far away, but it was an era that was probably the most successful in Wisconsin athletics as a whole.
Well, I think when you look at and I don't know if Barry's involved it or not, but I want to give Barry credit because Wisconsin football was always successful when Barry was around, right? I'm not going to look at coaches. Like, for instance, when I left in 2017 to go to Chicago, at the time, Barry was, I believe, on the College Football Playoff Committee. And I sat down with him And in true Barry fashion, he told me to take the money because it was good money at the Bears. Mm-hmm. But also, he was on the forefront of helping me understand that the college model was on the way to the pro model. So in his mind, he was go learn the NFL model because this is what college football is going to become down the line. He was in those conversations. He was in those rooms. So to not, you, in my opinion, you never turn down wisdom, and you never turn down someone that's been there and had an opportunity to hire great people. As far as that, you want the business acumen. You do want to be able to someone that maybe has played a sport. And I say, I know I am more than open to anyone coming from outside the program that has a great plan. But traveling around the country, being in the football world, Wisconsin is a different and a special place. And if you want to get the community back first, I've never seen last year. It broke my heart to see Cam Randall not Phil mm-hmm. on television last year. Now, my Badgers gave me bragging rights here in Seattle because our punter was the leading passer when we beat the Huskies. But that was 1 week of enjoyment for me, right? And you look at the ticket sales. You can't lose the ticket sales. You can't lose the support. You got to get out there in the community. We have to continue to lock the state lines. The new AD has to come in and have a multitude of skill sets. But what I've seen successful, JR, is mm-hmm. you have to hire the right people around you. You have to understand your blind spots. You have to find people that are not good at what that are good at what you're not good at, and be self-aware and not have an ego to say that I can do it all by myself. We're successful here because everyone, we had a job. We did a great job of hiring people. We did a great job of putting people in a position to be successful. That's what I think Barry did best for us. When Barry hired me as assistant AD of engagement, I came to him with a problem once. He was writing something on his desk, and he didn't even look up. He said, "Somebody hired you to bring me problems. I hired you to bring me solutions." So after that, it's a problem solving base. And I would just walk by Barry in the office and say, "I took care of that thing for you," and just keep walking. You know, so having the ability to understand what it takes to get back on track, you have to have the community. You have to look at every sport that's involved. And hopefully we have a chancellor that comes in that supports athletics, because the NIL space right now, you have to look at it from the NFL perspective. You have to budget. You have to have a salary cap. You have to have earmarked players. You have to recruit, re-recruit, and understand who your hot players are, so you're recruiting that position for if they go and take more money elsewhere else. It's really no different. We never had as much money as Penn State. We never had as much money as Michigan. We never had as much money as the Notre Dame. Like, that was always our case, but we're still able to build a top 25 program consistently. That's because we had the right people in place. People love what they did. You have to love the recruit. Like, you have to love everything about the university, your job, and your role. And I believe that's why we're successful. I believe the new AD has to have all those things.
Soup, we can talk a lot about, you know, what things we think can be done better right now. What do you think is the biggest reason for optimism moving forward for Wisconsin athletics? What stands out to you, like, this is untapped, or this is still something that fans or incoming players, everybody should be excited about supporting Wisconsin athletics?
That's actually a great question, man. I think the loyalty of the fan base. You know, I was taught that he who controls the mob controls Rome. That's something I've lived by. So if you don't have the community behind you, as I mentioned earlier, I believe that we were a little bit behind when NIL started, even though Barry had this vision early on. I think there is untapped potential. And when you're looking at what are we building at Wisconsin, when you come to Wisconsin, the first thing that any player should hear is the importance of giving back. I think people had a big misconception, even when I was in college and working in Madison at the time, and I've had this conversation several times. The athletes don't owe us anything. They worked hard to get where they are. We are here to serve them. We have jobs because of them. We are successful because of them. So if you build that in the foundation of what you are as far as giving back, then you have those high-level donors that want to be a part of it. You have those high-level donors that see you doing more than just asking for money. They want to see results, right? So it's going to be some time, and I got to be honest with myself and you guys, it's going to take us some time to turn it around from where we are when a new AD comes in. Unless we have Mark Cuban money coming in like Indiana did, that can flip a roster in 2 years, so be it. But you have to get the loyalty and the belief of the fans back. And other than the Packers and the Bucks, we're the only game in the state. The passion of Badger football. And I hope the AD, and I've had this conversation with JR as well, is two things that happen when you walk past Barry and Pat Richter's statues. You either say, damn, that's Barry and Pat's statue, or you say, I'm going to have my statue up there next. And that's the mindset I believe the next AD needs to have coming in.
Yeah, and I think that's an excellent point that because of where Wisconsin is right now, you can come in here and get a statue. If you can get the Badgers right in football in the NIL era, it's going to be a major difference. And one of the things here, and it obviously comes down to dollars and then how do you spend those dollars, but there is also the coaching side of it, because you brought up Indiana, but Chris Ignatie says that like their budget is not the same as some of the other schools. He has enough money to win, but then obviously in true Barry Alvarez style of, hey, get us close and I'll get us the rest of the way. I wanted to talk about, no Badgers drafted in the NFL draft this year. And honestly, the other part that was shocking to me was back into the 70s. The Badgers weren't even like good in the 80s and they still had people drafted. It really was just one more shocking moment as a Badger fan, Jesse, at least, and I'm sure Soup is an alum, and then you're in front offices here too, that wow. And the Badgers, look, they turn out good undrafted free agents, and the draft is kind of funky, and I like some of the players that Badgers could have a good NFL career. I mean, but also there's this other part of it, Soup, where you see former Badgers, and you see guys out having Chimray Dike down in Tennessee, a Milwaukee kid at Wisconsin.
Graham Mertz still a backup somewhere.
But like Dike went to but Dike went to Florida and then went to Tennessee and was all rookie there. I mean, so it's one of those things where not only are we not seeing Badgers drafted, we're seeing the Badgers go somewhere else and go play college ball and then get drafted. So as a former player and even in your current role, like how does that sit with you?
No, it doesn't. It's tough, JR.
Yeah.
It really is, especially sitting in personnel, because your integrity is everything, but you have to call it how you see it. And we didn't have any players drafted. And I couldn't even look up the last time that happened. But when you look at what we're usually putting out, when you look at the guys that are in Pro Bowls and winning Super Bowls and the James Whites and all those other guys that are doing amazing, amazing things, you know, one thing that Wisconsin was always known for was our ability to develop players. We could take a two-star player and we could make him a five-star player and we could make him a top draft pick, right? I'm not internal, so I don't know what the development program looks like. But in the era of NIL, yes, guys are going to transfer and guys are going to go to the league. And as I mentioned before, it's not about recruiting as much as it is about retaining guys and guys that want to stick around and be Badgers. But if there was anything to me from the personnel perspective, and watching our games consistently and watching the Oregon game and watching all the games we played this year, obviously Oregon and Washington, because those are two of my schools that I evaluate, and watching our guys, we have to dig deeper into the talent pool. We have to develop at a high level. We have to have guys that, at the bottom line, love football. They have to love football. So it doesn't sit well for me. We were always known for developmental guys. I do believe that we are still known for tough, smart, dependable guys once they come through the program. I do think that is a hat that we can't hang our hat on. But as far as competing at a high level, competing in the Big Ten, and we're talking about playoff football, we have to have guys that love to recruit, that love to develop, and the city, the alumni, the state has to get behind us and continue to support to get those kind of players in here, because that's just where the game is now.
All right, last one from me, Soup. Congratulations. You just won a hypothetical lottery, and you are the next athletic director at the University of Wisconsin. So you come in, you know football. How are you critiquing Luke Fickell in your first year as the athletic director, his fourth year as the head coach of the football team?
Right. If I'm coming in, obviously I haven't worked with Luke. So that first year, as I mentioned, is an evaluation period for everyone. You know, do I have the success that he has? Is that going to matter? Absolutely, it's going to matter if he has success or not. Even more so, how does his staff, how do the players feel? You know, you have to establish the leadership alignment across, you know, your coaches, your donors, your NIL collective, and your administration, right? If you're coming in, AD may want his guy. That's just the nature of the game. You may have a relationship with a guy that you want to bring in and be the head coach of your football team. But it's a what have you done for me right now business, unfortunately. We all wake up in the morning in this football world, and if we're good, if we just coming off a Super Bowl and we're not good next year, it's a what have you done for me right now world. And that's the pressure that we live with in the NFL. but we don't flinch. We keep forward. We keep pushing forward. So with Luke, it's how do the players play for you? Sometimes we can understand you don't have the money to get the talent, but are you maximizing the talent that you have? Are your guys running through the wall for you? Are you guys playing? Are they exhausting themselves to play for you? That's what Barry built it on. And I know Barry and people look at old school and people say, you know, Barry's time has passed, but old school principles and new school methods. Do you have the right kind of person? You know, the assessment of the character of the young man is just as vital as the talent. And that's how you rebuild a program. And right now, I think we're in a rebuild mode. We have to decide, are we a springboard program where guys come in and get an opportunity to go somewhere else? Or are we a retention program where we get guys in, develop them, and then continue to put them in the league? Because that is a legacy. I'm very honored to have come through Wisconsin and have my name down there on that NFL wall. And I'm assuming every player that comes through those doors wants the same. As I mentioned, it's on the staff and the coaches to make that possible and buy into those guys and make sure they have that opportunity.
Soup, I was talking with a former Badger. I guess I didn't clear this with him, so I won't say his name. But I was talking to a former Badger, and he brought up this point as far as NIL recruiting. And I think this is really a unique question for you. That's why I wanted to ask it, is that back when he played, which was more of like the mid-2000s, it was, you know, the idea of recruiting. They always talk about like someone who loves football. Like, what's your why for playing football? And you can obviously, I'm sure you see it now when you're in the front offices of like trying to figure out what someone's why is. Like, is it to make the money? And then when you get that payday, are you just going to take the foot off the gas a little bit? Is it about you just love football or you want to be the greatest you can be? And what it's always been there in football. I'm sure Barry figured out what your why was in college football. But the difference is now kids in college could get the payday that changes their life, and then their why has already been affected. And then so how do you manage it, or how do you look for it at the pro level, but how would you look for it even at the college level? Because it is important. If there's a difference there.
Right. Well, I think the codification of, and I believe we got it codified in Madison, but I know some schools now it's contractual, right? So if you do leave early, some of these players may have to give some of that money back, right? And it's always going to be a crapshoot on if a player is going to get a better opportunity from a team that can pay him more money. Right? That's where the character and the recruitment comes in, because there's always re-recruitment, right? We have Lance Mason here as a free agent, right? Tight ends come up here. I mean, Lance, obviously the first thing me and him talked about was Badger football, right? Couldn't get enough of it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the status. Let's talk about the program. Let's talk about how we get better. What did you see? Yep. Where can we get better, right? The NIL is something that is here and it's operating without rules. But because it's operating around rules, then having an AD that understands a coach that can do more with less is an advantage to me, because the rules are always going to be changing. So you can never bet on a player being there for 4 years. If we can only offer a player $8 million and another team comes in and offers him $15 million, that player is probably going to take that $15 million because the NFL is never a guarantee, right? And from a personnel person in the NFL, they say money makes you who you are, so that's a home run for me, because now I get to see how you operate as a millionaire before we potentially draft you or bring you in to be anywhere a part of our organization. So that is what it takes in college football, but you have to be aware of that, which goes back to my point. How strong are your recruiting strategies? How strong are your retention strategies? What is your earmark? How much money do we have to earmark? These are our top 15 players that are going to be sought after next year. How do we get ahead of that process? How do we structure the contracts? How do we structure the budget? What do we have left? So when the AD comes in, I'm sure that they'll have all these conversations with Luke and his staff and Marcus and those guys over there. But when you look at the situation as a whole, it's not a perfect situation, but you still have to be perfect in it. And that's the challenge. And you got to be up for it.
Soup, we appreciate your time. Great insight. Congratulations again on the Super Bowl. That is amazing. It's been really fun to see you go from my co-host to an AD with the Badgers to working with the Bears to now in the front office with another big-time Wisconsinite and John Schneider building out a Super Bowl team there. So we look forward to your continued success, and you know, congratulations on the Super Bowl, and keep it rolling, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate you having me. JR, the beard look.
Yeah.
It's a good look on you, bro.
I had to go soup. I shaved the head and go with the beard, man. I should have worn my glasses today.
Well, listen, guys, I love the work you guys are doing, man. Keep holding the Badgers accountable. That's how we're going to be better, man. Keep holding the integrity of the program. I appreciate you guys having us on. I'm always passionate when I talk about the Badgers. I have a hard time not being passionate about it, but everybody that came through that program left a brick in that program. Mm-hmm. We all put a brick in that program to help continue to build it. We all feel the same way. We all want Wisconsin Badger football to get back to the elite level that it once was. So I'm always a phone call away for anybody in the Wisconsin family for any help for anything. And I appreciate you guys.
All right, Soup, thank you so much. Super Bowl champion Lamar Soup Campbell here on The Jump Around. And like I said, Riley Yauch is my usual co-host here. And do we have the video ready from Riley down at what is he at, the College World Series?
It's the SEC Baseball Tournament, Jim.
Okay. All righty.
I'm here at the SEC Baseball Tournament, rocking my Big Ten shirt here to support one of my friends who plays for Mizzou. And I got a story to tell. I'm not a big story time content sort of guy. But today, me and my friend were walking in, and some SEC staffers come up to us and were like, hey, we see you're Mizzou fans. Do you guys want some free seats, some seat upgrades? And we're like, yes, of course. Where are them? Right behind home plate. Perfect. Right. So they walk us up. We sit behind home plate. And then another staffer comes up and was like, hey, that's not a great shirt to have on, Big Ten. And I'm like, or maybe it's a great shirt. And she rolled her eyes, scowled at me. But I figured, you know, maybe they're going to let me sit here and we can rep the Big Ten right behind home plate of the SEC tournament, best conference in college athletics, rep a little Wisconsin. Yeah. But alas, then they come up to me and they're like, hey, you got to either take that shirt off or we can give you an SEC sweatshirt to put on. One, it's a billion degrees. I'm not putting a sweatshirt on. Two, I'm no turncoat. I represent the Big Ten and today the Missouri Tigers. Wasn't going to do it. So they're like, sorry, sir, we're going to have to ask you guys to go back to your original seats.
Yeah.
So we didn't get the seat upgrade, had to watch from our original seats. SEC is the softest conference in collegiate athletics. Proof today, wouldn't even let the competition sit behind home plate. Very sad, but it was a great time. Missouri got the job done today. Repping the Big Ten. We'll be back tomorrow. See ya.
Amazing. Amazing.
Did he intentionally go thick Wisconsin accent when he said turncoat?
I don't know what was going on with it. Also, them? Like, where are them?
Well, he's down south. Yeah. You know, things are a little different.
I don't know what's
going
on there, but good for Riley. Good for Riley.
I mean, what do you expect? It's the SEC baseball tournament. If they're offering you a free seat, he's in the wrong. If they're offering you a free seat upgrade, and then they're going to say, by the way, like, you're repping like one of our biggest rivals, can you do something about that? Yeah. I would oblige if you want to sit behind home plate and watch your buddy play. Like, do it.
I would be 100% honest here, and I would say, like, make it a t-shirt and I'll move. Like, mainly, I get the sweatshirt thing.
Yeah, it's hot
like,
down there.
Make it a t-shirt and I will sit, but I don't want to.
Well, also, I mean, tarps off is the entire craze around baseball right now.
Sure, there you go.
Maybe it could have been a trendsetter at the SEC baseball tournament. Just whipping around the whole day.
There you go. All right. Well. So you would have taken a t-shirt? I mean, I get it. A sweatshirt, too much there.
If I'm Riley and I'm in the situation
personally.
Yeah, but I'm like, I wouldn't wear a just generic Big Ten shirt to an SEC baseball tournament to begin with. But
I don't
if I happen to be in this scenario, I'm probably doing it with intentional purpose. So I would just say, yeah, never mind. I'll just go rep the Big Ten out in left field.
Gotcha.
Like,
okay.
I would probably, yeah. Like
I would
understand
never wear a Big
Ten
shirt, but if they got me behind home plate, that's a fun place to sit. You got a different t-shirt, I'll take a free t-shirt.
For the free upgrade for what? Like, just wear the Big Ten shirt there the next day and just take the upgrade.
Also, I don't care about the, I mean, I'm good for Riley. I don't care about the Big Ten. I care about the Badger. Like, what are we doing?
Right.
And Owen?
Riley will never change.
No.
That video was pure Riley, and I love it.
No, it was amazing. I'm just saying, Riley's got more integrity than me. All right, this has been The Jump Around, ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee YouTube streams.